Welcome to Public Perspectives for this Saturday morning. Ray Michaels on AM 1340 KXCO, joined by Bob Bias, the chief at Centralia Police. Bob, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well, and glad to be here.
Thank you for giving up part of your Saturday morning to do it. Now, how long have you been with Centralia PD?
Okay, that's kind of a story, because the fact is, actually, I came back as chief in September of 2018. I served a year and a half before that as the chief in Hallsville. And before that, I had served as a full-time officer in Centralia from 2008. So, a lot of years.
Off and on, yeah. believe me, I understand that, coming and going. How has COVID-19 affected operations with Centralia PD?
The whole COVID thing came around, we discussed this, and I talked to several chiefs, several sheriffs around and everything else, and a lot of them were doing the same thing. I mean, the fact is, you know, our traffic stops were down, and because the fact is, we didn't want to take the chance of exposure. I mean, it's a whole new ballgame. We had no idea what this thing was or what it was going to do. And, you know, so we noticed a drastic drop in our call level. I mean, so the fact is, I mean, that was a good thing. And, you know, for about a 2.5 month period there, I mean, we were down probably 50% in our call volume. And so the fact is a lot of the stuff we did face-to-face. We cut out face-to-face, and we did a lot of telephone stuff. And, you know, if it wasn't something immediate and life-threatening, the fact is if we can take the call over the phone, we were going to do that.
Sure. Now, did you see an uptick in domestic violence calls?
A lot of people I've talked to said they have, but we did not.
Okay. I can speak from past experience in dispatch that, you know, by the end of, say, Thanksgiving weekend, if it had been crappy weather, they were starting to go through the roof because people were quarantined with their own family.
Wintertime, you know, is always a challenge.
Exactly. So have you kind of seen things come back to a more normal status now?
I have. I was telling the council and everything else the other night that our call level is more back to a normal call level than what we have. Of course, it's gotten warmer.
Sure.
And people are out. But, you know, we haven't had an excessive amount of calls, but our call volume is up considerably.
Or have you gone back to face-to-face?
Most of the time,
call,
yeah.
Response?
Most of the time.
Now, do you assist with medical calls at all, or is that...
We make an appearance, if you will. I mean, if it's something major, it's a life threat, you know, the fact is maybe a full arrest or something like that, that we're already out in the car, we can be there faster than the fire department, mm-hmm. We'll do that. But, you know, normal medical calls, we'll make an appearance, just make sure everything's cool, and then we'll leave.
How has COVID affected Centralia as a whole, as a community?
As a community, honestly, we talked to the health department in Boone County. It's probably been 4 weeks ago, 3-4 weeks ago, and we just asked the question of, because we hadn't had any cases within the city limits of Centralia that we knew of, none, zero. And we asked the question of, you know, how many have been within our zip code, and they told us there's less than 5. Well, that's the number I got. I don't know I don't know if that means we had 5 or if we had 1. But, you know, relatively, you know, of course, our small businesses, you know, we have taken a hit. But thankfully, I mean, we have, you know, of course, the grocery store there in town and the many gas stations. And we actually found that our sales tax revenues were actually up, I believe it's 36%, which is astronomical.
Sure.
Because everybody else was, we were expecting down up to 15%. So, you know, we had a really good month. We actually had 2 really good months. I think the first April was 7 and May was 36%. So, I mean, you know, a lot of people are shopping local, which is a great thing. And now, you know, that things are starting to open back up, you know, we're moving along slowly. And like I said, we're still taking precautions. It's still there, even though it's not in the news anymore, but, you know, for the most part. But yeah, we're moving along.
Well, and not having Anchorfest and that tax revenue generation, it's great that you're up,
right,
despite not having had Anchorfest.
Yeah, that was a pretty good hit to us. no doubt about it.
Now, are they thinking at all about doing anything later in the fall?
I know Chamber of Commerce has put on the books. They're going to hold essentially what they're, I think they're still referring to as Anchorfest Car Show, which, you know, is usually huge. Mm-hmm. The same weekend we do the barbecue contest in October. So, I mean, we're going to do that, and you know, they're talking about some other stuff, but I don't know for sure specifics.
Gotcha. Now, once we get back to school in the fall, provided it's back to in-person classes, mm-hmm. what effect is this going to have on school resource officers, or will it have?
I don't believe, I talked to my school resource officer the other day, and of course, you know, he's kind of hating life right now. He's on 12-hour shifts with everybody else, and you know, and but he's had some conversations with the superintendent there at schools and this and that and everything else, and I believe they're planning in-person classes, and as far as he's concerned, he says it's not going to change anything, really, as far as he's concerned.
Good. Now, is that position funded solely through the city, solely through the school district?
No, it's solely through the city.
Okay. I know some departments do it different ways.
Right. So I just and we have done it differently in the past, and currently it's funded all through the city.
Bob, tell us your whole life story. This is your life on Public Perspectives.
My whole life story. Like, wow.
Where did you come from? Where did you go to school?
I was born and raised in Columbia, Missouri. Okay. I graduated Hickman High School back in 1983. And if you do the math, yes, I'm 55 years old. You know, born and raised there. Married a Hallsville girl back in 1988. And we lived in Hallsville for about 13 years. And then we decided that it was time to get out of Hallsville. We moved, bought a little place outside Centralia. I went to work for Centralia part-time in 2005 as a part-time officer. I was full-time at the Columbia Regional Airport as a public safety officer. That's where I started this whole thing. I worked there full-time till 2008 when I was hired in Centralia and came to work as a sergeant in 08, stayed there. Worked up to assistant chief. Opportunity came open in Hallsville in 16, and so I took that job. And then I was there for right at 18 months. And then, like I said, the position came open in Centralia, and I have a passion for Centralia. Love the town and love the people. And they were gracious enough to give me the job. So here I am.
Now, what was it that drew you to public safety as a career?
Well, part of what I left out was I started on Boone County Fire Protection District, 1990, I believe it was. Did 19 years of fire district stuff, and you know, and that's kind of where I started. And the public safety job down at Columbia Regional Airport was a cop fire thing, much like mm-hmm. it is here in Mexico. Mm-hmm. And they sent me through the Law Enforcement Training Institute at the University of Missouri, and so, and then I got to doing it for a while, and I started that part-time thing in Centralia in 05 and decided I kind of liked the cop thing a little bit better than I did the fire part of it. And so it's always been a passion of mine. You know, I the old adage of, you know, I just want to help people kind of thing. Well, it's kind of true in my life.
It is. It very much is. And that's when you get out of it, that's the part that you miss the most.
Yeah, very much so.
Is being able to help others.
Very much so.
So as chief, what's your favorite part of the job?
I have a, you know, community policing is the buzzword, if you will, and has been for several years. Knowing the people, talking to the people, you know, the citizens of Centralia, you know, they don't ask a lot of us. We have a tremendous support in Centralia. And, you know, the fact is that for the most part, everybody that we deal with absolutely loves us. We, you know, just getting to know those people better. I've built up some really good relationships with some folks around town and a lot of the business owners, there's positives and negatives. And, but like I said, the biggest positive, like I said, is I like serving those people in Centralia because I think they deserve good police service.
And the least favorite?
We've been through a lot of ups and downs since I've been back. And, I think, you know, personnel issues is probably one of the ones that just really, you know, I don't know that of an administrator in police work that likes the personnel issues.
I don't know of too many administrators in any position.
I can speak to law enforcement.
Yeah.
But
yeah. That has been a very common, when I've asked this question, of just about anybody. personnel issues are about their least favorite aspect of the job. Bob, in the aftermath of George Floyd's death, do you think training for peace officers will see any changes either in more diversity training or in tactics for taking suspects into custody?
I know that, you know, the diversity training, you know, we all do the mandatory stuff that the state requires and everything else as far as the racial profiling every year and everything else. Is there something else needed? Yeah, but what that is, I don't know who's got the answer for that.
And that's what a lot of discussion has to be going on within law enforcement and other communities.
I'd agree with that.
To try to get to that bottom line. And how do we start that discussion?
Whew. You know, that's the thing about it. I do know, like I said, a lot of chiefs and sheriffs around and everything else. And it's kind of crazy to me that, you know, you put a bunch of them in a room and the fact is they can come up with some really good ideas. And, you know, you draw off each other. And, you know, I don't, you know, is it getting the politicians involved? Is that a good idea? I don't know that, because the fact is most politicians don't know what we do.
Right. They've not done a ride-along. They've not been in a car. They've not done the job.
Correct.
So how can they know without being told? And then they're being told by so many different sources.
They're getting perspectives from this side and that side and everything else. Well, the fact is one, I'm not going to lie to you. If you ask me a question, I'm going to tell you the truth. And, you know, I believe that if they want to get involved in it, the fact is they need to have the input from the people that do the job every day.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on the municipalities that are defunding or dismantling police departments like Minneapolis?
If you defund a police department, which means essentially taking funds away from their budget and putting it someplace else, the 911 calls are going to still come. The citizens are going to be expecting the same service they got when the police department had a full budget. In my experience, if you have a budget shortfall, one of the first things that ever goes is a training budget. So, in this day and age, police are called for a lot of issues that we are ill-equipped to handle, if you will. And be that addictions, homelessness, mental health issues. We've gotten better. You know, because with mental health issues, you know, you currently have like the CIT program, the crisis intervention team trainings. Many officers have received it, you know, and that directly relates to mental health. But if you cut a training budget, then how are we going to get better at handling these things that have been put on our plate over the years? You know, it used to be, you know, the days of Adam 12, you know, they'd go out, see bad guy, do whatever he's done, arrest bad guy, take him to jail. Mm-hmm. Well, now anymore, a lot of police departments are having to hang out those shingles of social service work. And, you know, I'd be the first to admit that we're ill-equipped for that or not trained well enough for that, if you will. But the expectation's already been put there for us. So how is it we're going to continue to provide those services if we're not trained for it? Then you're going to have the same problem of, you know, defunding. I mean, you're going to end up cutting positions. I was listening to a guy earlier that was the chief of, he was a pastor in Cleveland. And he was talking about how over the years they've already defunded Cleveland Police Department, cut it from like 800 positions down to 6, or it was some weird number. I don't remember for sure. But, you know, you cut personnel, then you're cutting your own throat.
Your service, your response times are going to go up because crime is not going to go down.
Right.
So,
I harp on officer safety. And Centralia, even as big as it is, you know, when I started back in 2005, one guy could work a shift by himself pretty much and handle anything that came his way. But with the severity of calls and everything else, I always have at least two officers on a shift because it's an officer safety issue. Mm-hmm. I want my officers to go home at night to their families. You know, we're just like anybody else. We've got families. We've got kids that rely on us. We've got a wife that relies on us. I want to see my officers go home. And if you start cutting those numbers and that budget, the fact is those officers are going to be responding to these same calls by themselves, or waiting on a backup from a county unit that may not be there, or even the highway patrol, but whatever. But the fact is those officers have every, should expect to be able to be safe and go home at night. It's happening too much anymore that they're not.
Right. And then you look at fire and EMS services. If it's a dangerous incident, they aren't going to go in. Correct. Until they have law enforcement there.
Right.
So it's a snowball effect.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've talked about quite a bit, and there's still something coming up that Centralia is going to do, and that's the Boone County Youth Expo.
Yeah, the Youth Livestock Expo. Mm-hmm.
What can you tell us about that? Because I think you've got a little bit of inside track.
I know a little bit about it. Had a presentation at City Council meeting last Monday night from two ladies. I didn't catch their names. They were looking for a place for these kids that have been working so hard on these 4-H and FFA projects to be able to show their livestock. Well, they were going to have the Boone County Fair. Well, no, now we're not.
Now you can't have
and
it.
So they came, made a presentation. Of course, in Centralia, we're not in charge of the fairgrounds. The Centralia Fair Board is. But they just wanted to know if we would support it. And the city council, I believe, unanimously said, yeah, sure, we will.
And the fair was already scheduled in Centralia, I think, July the 14th through the 18th.
Right. The youth fair for Centralia is a different critter, if you will. And it's at the end of June, I believe. But then they came up with these dates. I believe it's the same dates that the Boone County Fair was going to occur.
Okay.
And so, like I said, they're going to they're going to get to show their livestock, and those kids, like I said, the ladies that came did a really good job on their presentation talking about how the kids were really upset that they weren't going to get to show their livestock that they worked so hard on.
Well, sure, and they have. They've worked on it all year. They want to showcase the result of those efforts, and
so we're going to go forth and do it, with stipulations in place. And they have a plan, and they're going to have to get that plan approved through the Boone County Health Department, which I don't know that they're going to have a problem with, because they're essentially doing the same thing that the folks from the Centralia Youth Fair are doing. It's just going to be on a little bigger scale. So.
Sure. Bob, is there anything else that you think listeners need to know about Centralia or Centralia PD?
Well, like I said, I don't want anybody to ever worry about what happens with Centralia PD, because the fact is you hear in the news all the time now about, how it is that everybody's racially profiled, or it's all about race. And the fact is, we don't. I try and get across to my guys. Some of them are much younger. They're younger than my kids. And I want them to understand that no matter what in Centralia, you're going to get treated fairly. I mean, it doesn't matter your race. I don't care. And I feel that, a lot of this is, a lot of people are lumping the bad cops into one big bowl, okay? But that is a very, very, very small percentage. We're not the Derek Chauvins of life. That sickens me. I mean, the fact is, it shouldn't have ever happened. But I also believe that, you need to be fair in all your policing, and that's what I try and get across to my guys. Be fair with everybody. It doesn't matter what color their skin is.
Or ethnicity, or their background, socioeconomic, or
does
otherwise, you have to be blind to all of that and just focus on, is it just and is it right?
That's exactly right.
Bob Bias, Chief at Centralia Police, thank you so much for giving up part of your Saturday morning to be with us on Public Perspectives, AM 1340, KXCO.